She's a senior research analyst in Walgreens in the Clinical Outcomes and Analytics Department. And she can add some more about her background when she gets here.
Thank you. Today I'd like to talk to you about a study that we did at Walgreens. We looked at the impact that community pharmacies can have on access to immunizations for health professional shortage areas. As everyone here pretty much knows, influenza can be a very common virus, infecting anywhere from 5 to 20% of the population each season. And with it comes tremendous burden. There's over 200,000 hospitalizations occurring each year, and an estimated economic burden of $80 billion. Despite these factors, less than 50% of individuals get vaccinated each season. So several barriers to vaccination have been identified. They include cost. Oftentimes, patients lack appropriate health insurance coverage for vaccinations, and they cannot afford to pay for it out of pocket. Patient knowledge is also an important barrier. Oftentimes, patients don't have a complete understanding of all the benefit of vaccination, and some patients actually even believe that they would get sick from getting a vaccine. And inadequate access to primary care has also been an identified barrier. This is especially important for immunizations, since the vast majority are given in a primary care setting. And physician shortages are one component of access to primary care. So physician shortages affect an estimated 60 million Americans. And this actually occurs across all income levels and all races. It affects people with health insurance, and it affects those without. They occur in urban populations as well as rural populations. So basically, everyone, everywhere can be affected by physician shortages. And it's also a growing problem. One study estimates that there will be a shortage of over 100,000 physicians occurring within the next 15 years. And of these, 40% will be in the primary care sector. So physician shortages are one component of health professional shortage areas, or HPSAs. Specifically, HPSAs are identified as areas with inflated population to provider ratios. They are designated by the federal government, and the government does maintain a list of these HPSAs. There are three designation types: dental, mental health, and primary medical care. And obviously, since we're talking about immunizations, we focus on primary medical care. So the government includes the following physicians in their primary care subset. It's general family practice physicians, general internal medicine physicians, OB-GYNs, and pediatricians. And the federal government has a lot of uses for HPSAs. A couple of them are to assign federal physicians to underserved areas, and they also have a lot of incentives, such as student loan repayment plans and Medicare incentive payments. So community pharmacies are in a position that they can step in and assist in these underserved areas. How? Well, they're well positioned across the U.S. In fact, it is estimated that there is a community pharmacy within 3 miles of nearly every American. Community pharmacies also offer an extensive network of immunizers. Walgreens alone has over 26,000 certified pharmacist immunizers. And pharmacists have actually been assisting with immunizations for centuries. They started out as vaccine distributors, and over the years, they've moved into more active functions. And now pharmacists are specifically trained, educated, and certified on immunization administration. Community pharmacies also offer expanded hours for which patients can come and receive their immunizations. Unlike physician offices, which one survey shows that 30% are open on weekends and less than 25% are open after 6 p.m., community pharmacies are generally open evening hours, weekends, and some are even open 24 hours a day. And generally, community pharmacies offer the patient the ability to go in and get a vaccination with no appointment necessary, so they can find a time that's convenient and meets their schedule and just walk in and get their vaccination. So with this in mind, we sought to evaluate the capacity of a national retail pharmacy chain to offer and administer influenza immunizations in HPSAs throughout the U.S. We performed a retrospective analysis that looked at three things. We looked at the number of Walgreens pharmacies located in HPSAs. We looked at the HPSA population that can be served by Walgreens. And we also looked at the number of flu shots administered by Walgreens in these HPSA areas. This particular study focuses on last season, so the 2009-2010 flu shot season. And we specifically used the dates of September 1st, 2009 through February 28, 2010. We included data from all of our Walgreens locations in the 50 United States. And we used prescription fills to identify influenza vaccination using national drug codes. H1N1 was excluded because, if you remember back in 2009, it was still a separate vaccine. And population provider data was current as of December 2009. So even though the government maintains a list of HPSAs, we chose to calculate our own in order to ensure that the most up-to-date information was being used. We calculated ours by determining the population to provider ratio for each census tract. And those census tracts that had a population of greater than 3,500 to one provider were deemed HPSAs. And so for our purposes, we defined providers as primary care physicians, which had the same methodology as the government, so included the pediatricians and OB-GYNs. We also included nurse practitioners within a 30-mile radius of each census block. And we chose to include nurse practitioners, even though the government didn't, because we feel in today's market, nurse practitioners play an integral part in immunization administration. And since we're comparing with pharmacist immunizers, it wouldn't really be a fair comparison to omit them. Then we took the pharmacy and influenza immunization administration locations, and we mapped them to the identified HPSAs. And so to determine the population served by each Walgreens, we looked at the retail trade area for each pharmacy location. This is an area where most customers for a particular location come from. It is a proprietary method, but I can tell you that it's based on a number of factors. These include the geographic area where approximately 70% of customers reside, landscape barriers such as mountain ranges, urban versus suburban populations, traffic patterns, drive time, and market competition. And we feel that retail trade area is a much more accurate measure of access than cruder methods based purely on distance for these factors. So our results show that approximately 26% of the population resides in an HPSA, which is roughly 80 million Americans. And of these, nearly 44% are served by Walgreens, as determined by the retail trade area. So community pharmacies or Walgreens alone can serve over 35 million Americans residing in these underserved areas. And this map illustrates the various Walgreens pharmacy locations in relation to the HPSAs. Walgreens is in the green box, and the shaded areas are the various HPSAs. So as you can see, Walgreens is well-positioned throughout many of these underserved areas to step in and assist patients in receiving their immunizations. And at the time of this study, there was over 2,600 Walgreens locations located in HPSAs, which was roughly 38% of all of our pharmacies at that time. So when looking at individual states, Alabama had the greatest percentage of the population residing in an HPSA with 75%. And of these patients, over 49% were able to be served by Walgreens. Mississippi came in second with about 73% of the population residing in HPSA, and Walgreens served over 54% of this population. And finally, Louisiana had nearly 65% of their population residing in an HPSA, and Walgreens is able to serve over 46% of these people. Then when you look at the Walgreens locations in HPSAs, almost 84% of all of them in Alabama are in HPSAs, and over 71% of all Walgreens pharmacy locations in Mississippi are in HPSAs, and just about the same number in Louisiana. Additionally, there are six other states that had over 50% of the population residing in an HPSA. They are Idaho, Alaska, South Carolina, Missouri, New Mexico, and Florida. And together, Walgreens is able to serve 55% of all of these underserved individuals. So it's great that all these pharmacies are located in HPSAs, but are patients actually utilizing community pharmacies for their vaccination needs? Well, during the 2009-2010 season, Walgreens provided over 4.6 million flu shots, of which 1.7 million, or roughly 37%, were actually located in HPSAs. So we feel, yes, patients in these areas are utilizing the community pharmacy for their vaccines. Then going back to Alabama and Mississippi, the states that had the greatest percentage of the population in HPSAs, you can see that Walgreens provided over 78% of all of their flu shots in HPSAs in Alabama, and nearly 66% in Mississippi. And then this map illustrates where Walgreens provided their flu shots in relation to the HPSAs. And so the darker the shade, the more flu shots that were provided. And it further shows that throughout many of these locations, patients are utilizing the community pharmacy to get their flu shots. And then I'd like to point your attention to Florida. As many of you probably know, Florida has the highest percentage of patients that are 65 years and older. and they are at the highest risk of influenza-related mortality, as well as other diseases and conditions. So, as you can see, Walgreens provided a significant number of vaccinations in Florida in these underserved areas. So ultimately, we feel that Walgreens and community pharmacies altogether can significantly impact these high-risk patients. So in conclusion, the community pharmacy can be a valuable source for vaccinations. Community pharmacies can increase access and convenience to immunizations by offering expanded hours of service for which patients can receive their vaccines, by offering vaccines on a walk-in basis, and by being well-positioned throughout the U.S. And therefore, community pharmacies can help fill in gaps in care and diminish barriers. As we showed, community pharmacies are aptly located throughout HPSAs throughout the U.S., and hopefully this could help diminish at least one barrier to care, such as access. And therefore, this would hopefully increase vaccination rates and ultimately improve the health and wellness of the population. And I'd just like to thank Devaney Harshberger for all her GIS analysis and Ed Cohen for all his invaluable program insight. Thank you.
So we can go ahead and take a few questions now. So please come up to the mic.
Yes. So my question is it possible to get state-specific information on the number of flu vaccines that are administered by Walgreens, state by state? Is that?
We have that information and would be by written request to the company, and we can, depending on who's asking and for what purpose, we have provided that information.
Okay. So to who should we?
Just see me after, and I'll.
Great.
You can contact me directly, and I can connect you with.
Great. Thanks.
Hi, Alan Hinman from Atlanta. It's a very nice analysis, I have to say. Trying to show what your penetration is, and I commend you for doing it, and I hope you'll keep it up. I don't know if perhaps Ed is going to address this, but a question we heard in Pennsylvania that pharmacists have to participate in the statewide immunization information system. Do you have any information about what proportion of Walgreens pharmacies and pharmacist immunizations are being recorded to state immunization registries?
Currently, our policy is to participate in those states that require participation, and right now it's upwards of 24 to 25 states, so pretty much half of the states we're providing information to registries. Our goal, of course, is to get it electronic and feed it back and forth. There are two states of that mix that today there is no electronic and are done manually at the store.
Great presentation. I had a question in terms of increase in coverage, because there's sort of been anecdotal discussions. One I've heard, every Walgreens, people drive by the Walgreens and then end up going to their doctors. Because it serves as a reminder, so congratulations to Walgreens for doing that. But the question I had was, do you think you've actually raised coverage rates in those states of the people that are coming in or people that would not have gone to their provider? Or do you have any evidence or do you know anything about that?
There was a couple studies that were done quite some time ago as more states were allowing pharmacists to immunize, and they showed in states that did allow pharmacists, there was greater vaccination rates, and they did conclude that they feel that pharmacists are having an impact, but we haven't done any studies.
I think it'd be very interesting to see whether what the characteristics of the people that are coming into the pharmacies to get immunized.
We do capture some of that data. It's mostly internally used to enhance our program dynamics, but we haven't really shared a lot of that to this time, and we're still collecting.
Mm. On the anecdotal basis, Clem, I can tell you for us Medicare recipients, the convenience factor is very great to be able to stop by on your way home instead of having to make an appointment and get the flu shot.
Yeah, I suspect you're actually getting new people to come in for that convenience reason that you're not getting.
As well as people who opt to take the easier route.
So, Ed, can I just ask, so do you collect information about previous vaccination, like if they've ever received a flu vaccination, for example? Is that a routine question that you might collect? Or?
We ask the question at the time of the screening. I don't believe we collect that information if they've had previous shots.
We don't collect that information at the time of consent and screening, but we do have some of that data in our system that we utilize to get that information. But we do not ask them about flu immunization. We do ask them about pneumonia vaccinations to capture the, especially the elderly population of older that.
Frank Caniglia from Pennsylvania. Great presentations, both. Quick question for Ed or Patricia. As you heard throughout, you may have not heard if you weren't here all week, but IISs are really moving forward and getting a lot of national recognition for interoperability. And actually, registries are now becoming, are getting to be recognized as shovel-ready projects. Obviously, you see walk-in clients, and would it be feasible for IISs to begin talking with Walgreens and other national-based pharmacies to begin developing these real-time bidirectional interfaces so that you could at least benefit from the shovel-ready project and being able to see what is in the registry? And also, in a seamless manner, submit that data to the registry so that the registry has that information. I ask this question because in Pennsylvania, and I'm not sure about other jurisdictions, acute care facilities upon admission must verify within 24 hours that the patient that's being admitted, A, received their seasonal flu, and B, that they have the pneumococcal vaccine. Unable to provide that proof, they must revaccinate. And obviously there is a concern over vaccinating and from a clinical and cost effectiveness. So having that real-time bidirectional and being able to query would be something of benefit to registries. And I was wondering if, Ed, you did mention two facilities or two registries currently doing that. Just wondering what your position is from a Walgreens perspective.
The gentleman that's coming up behind you, he's our pharmacist IT person that works on and develops all of those enhancements.
Hi, Phil Cook with Walgreens. I think I probably have met some of you before, but I talked over the emails and so on. So just to correct Ed on the our electronic data exchange programs with the states, currently we're up to, as he said, about 24 states. Of those, about 18, as you know, states require or mandate reporting. We have voluntarily developed exchanges with some of the other states. We are in the process of upgrading our system to be able to do bidirectional back and forth, but that is still, you know, a couple of years away. So we are actively making sure we could participate in the registry reporting to, you know, be in the same boat as you all are, try to get that system up to the level that we want it to be.
Hi, Mitch Rothholtz, the American Pharmacists Association. Just to add on to what Phil has said, we've been in a lot of discussions with folks in the electronic world about standardizing the communication vehicle. And I think Walgreens is an example. They've been working with individual states of overcoming some barriers. But one thing that will help stream that along, and not just within pharmacy, but within the whole healthcare system, is if we have standards that apply across all the states so that we don't have, for example, using Walgreens as an example, they have to deal with 50 different types of requirements that come in. So if we can get that national standard, which I know a lot of folks are trying to work towards, that's going to help us get along a lot quicker.